Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Danielle is a woman living the high life in New York City. She's young, pretty, and smart, finishing her BA and looking for work. In the meantime, she's shacking up in a Soho flat with a very generous older boyfriend named Max in a pecuniary relationship. He thinks he's paying her way through law school. But her delicate web of lies and deceptions threatens to unravel when she finds herself at a party she doesn't want to attend. Well, not exactly a party, it's a shiva, a Jewish post-funeral get-together with family and friends of the deceased. And who shows up? Maya, her former best friend from high school with whom she once had and may still have a relationship, and Max, the guy she's sleeping with now. Add an intrusive mother, an oblivious father, some nosy relatives telling cringe-worthy stories, some awful coincidences, and a few key embarrassing accidents, and there you have it, Danielle's Shiva from Hell. Shiva Baby is a dark comedy that adds a new twist to the classic screwball genre. It deals with family, sex work, secrets and lies, romance, eating disorders, hidden paths, and uncomfortable presence. It's written and directed by the Toronto-born, New York-based filmmaker Emma Seligman. Shiva Baby is her first feature, but it's already wowing the crowds at South by Southwest, TIFF, and playing now at Toronto's Inside Out Film Festival. And I'm very pleased to have Emma here in Toronto with me digitally to tell us more about Shiva Baby. Hi, Emma. Thanks so much for calling me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And I just want to say, as I mentioned before, this is one of my favorite movies at TIFF, so I'm really excited to be talking with you.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
So Shiva Baby is a movie told through the eyes of Danielle, and Danielle has sort of constructed a persona around herself. Who does she want to be thought of as?
That's a good question. I think for her sugar daddy or boyfriend, as you say, Max, I think she wants to be seen as a very independent, financially independent, sexy young woman. And I think to her parents and her community, she wants to be seen as a nice Jewish girl with a stable, traditional career ahead of her. So I think she's battling a few different versions of herself in this day.
And the two sides start to clash at the Shiva. So how is this image threatened?
Well, because her sugar daddy starts to find out that she's not as independent as she has presented herself to be. And I think her mom and her family get a window into her messiness. And, you know, that includes her sexual messiness. And I think that, you know, when you're at family events in general, I think there's always, like, especially when you're a young person, a need to sort of like have like a soundbite. If you don't have, you know, a traditional career ahead of you, like you're going to law school or you're going to med school, or like there's things figured out, there's always I think pressure to come up with a way of presenting your arts career or your undecided career in a way that seems you know, like there's some bite to it, like it's gonna last you and sustain you and be financially stable. So I think there's always that pressure. And then when everyone is there, her ex-girlfriend and ex-best friend and her sugar daddy and the folks that he brings and all of these nosy relatives, like you said, it becomes, she starts to like crack under the pressure and can't sort of hold up those two different versions of herself.
So let's look at the setting. It's at a Shiva. For those who don't know what that is, can you describe what is distinctive about this sort of get together?
Sure. A Shiva is, I guess, the, you know, the easiest way to describe it might be like a Jewish wake. It's where you go right after the funeral to the house of, you know, usually the main mourners who have lost their loved ones. And it's a 7-day process. you know, this film takes place just in the immediate Shiva, right after the funeral. But it's a 7-day process where family and friends gather and bring food. And, you know, generally it lasts the whole day. And there's an afternoon service and then an evening service where a rabbi will generally, or cantor will generally, hold a small service, you know, to pray for the loved one gone. And every different, you know, Jewish community, because there's many, many different kinds, have a different sort of way of doing Shivas. I come from like a very reform, you know, community in Toronto. So I didn't grow up going to the strictest Shivas. It was sort of like a get together, like you said, where you just shared stories and, you know, it felt like any other family function, which always kind of surprised me because someone has just passed away, but it sort of felt just as uncomfortable and funny and annoying and loving and boundary crossing as every other family function I've been to.
So one of the people at this Shiva is her high school best friend, Maya. But, and I don't think this is a spoiler since the film is playing at Inside Out LGBT Festival. So there has to be some sort of LGB or T within the story. So can you talk about the friction and relationship between Maya and Danielle?
Sure. Maya is her former, you know, close best friend that she grew up with, who it sort of fits the bill of a nice Jewish girl. She's just graduated and is going to Columbia Law School, and everyone is very proud of her and admiring her and gabbing about her. And she's feeling, you know, pretty confident within this setting that definitely admires the career that she's made ahead of herself. And her and Danielle have a sort of, yeah, you put it well, like a relationship with friction and a sort of on and off, you know, friendship that goes in and out. And it's, I guess, slowly revealed that they have a romantic history as well. And that's sort of been slightly under the radar, but not really within this community. And both their mothers seem to know, but, you know, Danielle's mom sort of passes it off as experimenting and it being a phase. And Maya's mom just kind of doesn't want to talk about it. But, you know, Danielle is a bisexual character, and that always felt really important for me to portray on screen. And I wanted to just show that even though these liberal communities can be very, very accepting of gay rights and LGBTQ rights in general, there's slight discomfort sometimes when your kid is one of the members of that community. And not only that, but I think being bisexual is confusing to some parents. It doesn't really make sense. So I think it's passed off as a phase or experimenting. So so I wanted to portray that. And I'm so happy with Molly Gordon and Rachel Sennett's performances. I think they have an incredible chemistry, and they really got what was kind of tricky to go for, which is establishing this very, you know, complex relationship that has a history that, you know, we only see them in one day. So they had to get across that they've had, you know, ups and downs with each other and feel sort of excited, but also hate each other and love each other at the same time. So I feel very lucky that I got these two lovely actresses to play these roles.
Beautiful portrayal. Actually, Rachel looks kind of like you mm-hmm. a lot. Was that deliberate?
I mean, it wasn't deliberate, but I will say that a lot of the times I think male directors cast young men or men who look like them or used to look like them. So I think it just kind of happens. I cast Rachel, one, because she's hilarious. If folks don't know, she's an amazing comedian and has a huge Twitter following.
Her timing is impeccable.
Yeah. She's also an incredible improviser. But, you know, in terms of her look, she just looked to me like someone I would run into at one of these events. And I felt like I could relate to her, you know, and she actually comes from like a really huge Italian family. So she could really relate to, you know, going home and being questioned by many relatives about what she was doing, you know, as an actor, as a comedian, or as a writer. So, you know, I felt like she could have been in my family, which is why, you know, the look worked for me. And then I found out she wasn't Jewish, which is fine. but yeah, she's wonderful.
And how much is the character, Danielle, a reflection of your own life? I mean, it's fiction, but.
Right. Well, I never ran into my sugar daddy at a shiva. and I never had a sugar daddy. It definitely, I think a lot of young women in general, unfortunately, can relate to these feelings of feeling pressure coming from within themselves and coming from all forces outside closing in on them. So I definitely took from my own experience and my own insecurities and anxieties, you know, just about like generally, which I think is super common, even with young men too, probably, just growing up and feeling scared and not knowing what you're going to do with your future, but also, you know, feeling pressure from your family and your community. And then on top of that, I think as a young woman, sort of realizing, you know, that your sexual power isn't as powerful or isn't as far reaching as you thought it was when you first, you know, discovered it, and you otherwise feel powerless. So it came from those places within me, but I've found that as I've gone through the process of showing this film, and showing the short film that it's based on, that so many people relate to it well beyond what I thought would be relatable, like not just young Jewish women or young queer women, but young women from many different backgrounds, and then young men too. So, you know, I think I tried to draw on universal themes, even though the community this takes place in is pretty specific.
Speaking of the community, some critics chastise you for using stereotypes in their behavior. I personally thought it was realistic and hilarious. But what do you say when people say, "Oh, you're using such negative stereotypes"?
Well, you know, you can't win them all, and everyone's entitled to their opinion. And I totally see that. I come from this community, and this is my world. And unfortunately, sometimes when you portray things honestly, it just seems, for me, it just like it's hard to get around the stereotype thing, because it's just kind of the truth sometimes. Not to say that all stereotypes are true, that's not the case, but I wrote from what I know and from my parents and my cousins and my family and my life, and I also did so lovingly. Like, I think that, you know, I tried to, you know, break down the stereotypes as much as I could in certain ways, in having the mom genuinely really care for her instead of just being completely, you know, self-involved, as often the mom Jewish stereotype is. So I hear people when they have those concerns, but at the same time, like, it's kind of hard. Sometimes I have memories, I'm staying with my parents now, sometimes they do things where I'm like, if I wrote this into a movie, people would think I'm just being completely stereotypical, like you could not make this up. So, you know, you just do what you can, but I understand why people might feel that way.
Well, truth is stranger than fiction. I found the ad, a shiv is like a lot of people talking a lot, telling with clever dialogue, and people holding secrets and not wanting to meet up. To me, it was a classic screwball comedy. What do you consider this film? Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah, I mean, I just sort of like saying dark comedy, just because I feel like that sort of means like anything.
Right, right.
I'm not beholden to any, you know, specific kind of comedy. But it's been so fun hearing people's different interpretations. Like you're saying, screwball comedy, and that makes me so happy to hear. Because I love old like 40s and 50s screwball comedies. But then also some people have said horror comedies, which was not my intention.
But there is but a so sort of a horror situation, but not horror.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. So I just say dark comedy, but whatever people interpret it as, I've been so excited to hear different interpretations in terms of the genre.
And finally, you made this is your first feature, a huge success. What direction do you see yourself going from here?
I would like to just continue to tell young female stories, young, like complicated and flawed female characters. I think, I genuinely do just want to keep telling young queer stories and young queer female stories. So I hope to keep making features and films. I would love to. I'm trying to hopefully turn this loosely into a TV show adaptation.
Oh,
So
that would work.
yeah,
That
I
would
think so.
work.
It'd be more about college sugar babies, but less about Shivas, but but with still with the Jewish family. So that's what I would love to do. But I hope I can just continue to tell these underrepresented stories on screen in some capacity.
Well, can't wait to see what's coming next. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad that you enjoyed the movie.
Filmmaker Emma Seligman's Shiva Baby is now playing at Inside Out in Toronto and opening soon. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.